Welcome to Spectrum from China America Radio, a weekly public service production featuring news, information, and stories of interest to our China America Radio listeners in the United States and around the world. Now, here's this week's host, Steve Warren.
Hi, everybody. It's another Spectrum show. And as always, it is the month of May, and that is Asian Pacific American Heritage Month throughout the United States. And we have some of our guests and some events that are going to be going on throughout the rest of this month for each of our Spectrum programs. We have no stranger to our airwaves and our microphone. This is Yayun Ting, Yayun from Flushing Town Hall. Yayun, welcome. Welcome back. We should change places. I think you've been on more than I have.
I'm very happy to be here again. Thank you, Steve.
Very good. Well, now, Flushing Town Hall, I guess you're starting to just chomp at the bit and getting ready to blow the doors open so people can come inside and do things for the bulk of the rest of the year. How's it feel there?
I mean, it definitely feels really good. Of course, we're trying to move as fast as we can, but of course, safety is our first priority. So we are being very careful about planning the reopening. So the bulk of our program, most of it, we still wanted to stay online. And we are now starting to do some very, very limited amount of physical in-person program, but only the artist performing on our stage, and we broadcast, so no audience. That's okay. I think it's the safest approach for now.
Yeah, I know planning is very important, and we had no way of planning a few months ago where we would be today in terms of getting together and opening things up, so it's good that you've planned ahead. I was wondering, I've talked to quite a few other people from other venues. Do you think your online presence is going to be continued? Did you learn something about this experience that maybe you've opened some new doors for Flushing Town Hall?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, since last March, we really pivoted. Up till this point, we had, produced online program for, more than a year now. So we've definitely learned a lot from it. And I'm very happy to report that people really loved it. Our online audience community is really, really growing. And one of the example is our Crazy Talented Asians and Friends series, which originally was planned to premiere as an in-person program. But of course, we had to change our plan, and then we had to move the program online last year. Did it for the first time, but we received really, really good and heartwarming response from our community, saying that the program really brings the community together during, I would say, one of the darkest moments in New York history.
I realize that because we spoke when you were getting ready to do the live show last year. And
right.
I think
yes.
The folks at the Crazy Talented Asians and Friends had to change their MO pretty quickly to go from being a live performance where they could play off of each other in person and instead do like we're doing, which is everybody's in little boxes like the Hollywood Squares. So, you brought some guests with you today, and we have another Crazy Talented Asians and Friends performance of the Flushing Town Hall coming up later in the month. So tell us about that event, and then introduce the folks you brought with you, which neither of which is are strangers as well, having been with us before.
Yes, yeah, I'm very happy to let everybody know that Flushing Town Hall is celebrating the Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month again. And this year we are partnering with Crazy Talented Asians of Friends again for the second year because people really, really love this series. This year on May 29th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have the animation shorts. And I'm really, really happy to have two guests here today. One is Mingyi Huang, who is the guest producer of Flushing Town Hall and the mastermind for this great program series. And also Shang Qing Mo, who is the lead advisor of the animation shorts program and also the chairwoman of the BFA program at SVA animation program. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah.
So who you want to go first? You can pick.
I would say, you know, Mingyi, I would love to hear from you, like, you know, how does this program comes together, experience from last year, and how does this this year's program coming together? Mingyi, if you wanted to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, Mingyi, you're on.
Okay, great. Yes, very happy to be here. Thank you, Steve, for inviting us back. We really, how this program started is really, if you look around, there are so many talented Asian Americans in all fields, not just science, not just law, just medicine, but also performing arts, animation, live comedy, you name it, we have it. However, you don't see them as much being presented in all the major events. So especially what I feel very deeply is that, especially for emerging young artists, either they're right out of school, they spent all the years crafting their arts, but very few exposures to the public. So we felt, why don't we create a platform with the best people we can find and just really make a program, have fun with all the audience that we can find. And that's how we got started with creating the Crazy Talent Asians and Friends. So I'm very happy to say this is the second year, and we just had a live comedy back in April, and we had 400 ISVPs. So this is really, the enthusiasm from the audience is just really, really very heartwarming.
Well, Mingyi, you've been at this for a long time, very experienced at putting projects together. What's been your learning curve over this past year? Have you added some new arrows to your quiver of knowledge about how to do this?
Oh, it only gets better. What we are finding is there's so many talents, even within one venue of performing arts. For example, animation shorts. We have like over 600 submissions in just 2 months open call for submission period. And they're all from all over the places and all different kind of training. And if you look at the stories we're going to present, they're really very representative of what their experiences, what their talents in terms of arts, storytelling and animation craft, which I'll, you know, Sean can talk more about it. It's just that our learning experience, we just need more such programs so we can present more of the talents. It's just Asian American, as you know, APA, there's a reason. There are probably at least 40 countries, how many tribes it represented here. So it's very important that we have more and more such programs to showcase their talents.
With all those entries, did you have a theme going in that would direct the ones you wanted to pick, or did the theme develop from the submissions and what you actually had in your hands?
Oh, Sean can tell you a little bit more, but briefly I would say, because I review all 600 of them, and the theme this year, because of COVID, I do feel there's a strong sense of introspection, families, relationship, and just the music of the life. I think that came through from what I've seen. Sean,
Sean Chin, you're next. What's up?
Hi. Yeah, thank you again for having me. I can talk a little about, we don't really request for a theme, but like Mingyi said, you know, we definitely see this like an overarching theme of, you know, missing each other. But I think what we have learned from last year to this year is we're constantly looking for ways to improve and to diversify our views of looking at all the films, because we are really grateful for all the filmmakers sharing their films with us. And this year we were able to invite a lot of jurors are also working in the industry. So we have artists from Pixar, Titmouse, Nickelodeon, independent filmmakers based from LA to New York, helping us to judge the films together. So it's not one single point of view. Again, it's also not just single point of view from being an Asian or Asian American. And our jurors are really diverse in terms of gender and ethnicity as well, to really help to celebrate the voice of storytelling in the form of animation, to really push that for the generation. And the other thing we also learned from last year is the category. You know, last year we had a great mix of films where we had always had a hard time picking which films to show. And this year we made a conscious decision that, you know, we have student films, which we received so many entries. In addition, we also made a non-student, which is more professional, and receive a lot of production, high-value animation that we normally get to see unless you go to film festivals or you live in that home country. So this year is really like a great learning experience for us, and we can't wait for everyone else to see it and join us on the day of the events.
But these venues like TikTok, and now everybody has a webcam, and now they're buying more expensive webcams, and everybody's phone is essentially a movie camera. You're finding some very inventive people utilizing the technology today that didn't even exist or wasn't even thought of a few years ago and putting together their animation.
Absolutely. The technology is definitely one of the motivation for a lot of students. And I could actually say for animation, depending on the technique, right? But as easy as 2D animation, a lot of my students just use their iPad to create their films. You know, you don't really need to push for, you don't have to have the best equipment to make animation. Of course, the higher you go, you have a, you know, bigger production, but you don't have to. It comes down to the story. And that's kind of the one theme that we have in mind as a juror, is we're not looking for who has the most polygons in your 3D pieces. It's actually the story that what's driving us and wanting to know more about the story, know more about the filmmakers. But yeah, absolutely. I think, but I would have to say, I went to a movie theater not that long ago. It was actually last week for the very first time, being very safe. I miss being in the theater. So hopefully, I don't want to jinx anything, that this will be our last virtual one. And hopefully next year we'll be back in Flushing Town Hall for our very first in-person events.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Maybe you'll be both places. You'll be online and yes, on video as well as on stage, and we'll get back to almost the days of live, you know, live television. Mingyi, you were raising your hand there.
Yeah, talk about being together. I want to highlight, actually, this year, again, we'll have a Q&A panel for the jurors and artists together. And really, it is trying to create that in-person feel about, you know, your experience of telling the stories, animation. Also, the jurors, as John mentioned, they're very experienced industry professionals, really just exchange the career path and how they develop their vision and talents and telling the story using animation arts. It's going to be an exciting time to watch the show.
What does Crazy Talented Asians and Friends have coming up after the month of May and on into the rest of the summer and into the fall?
Oh, it's again, it's we're actually been talking about maybe a follow-up series, live and of the live comedy, as well as the animation series. Again, it's a little bit hard to plan at this time because we don't know the COVID situation, but hopefully we'll have a follow-up series to these two.
And Yayun, what else does Flushing Town Hall have going on this month for Asian Heritage celebrations?
For this month, we are also going to live stream a concert from our stage by Jean Haley's Jazz Quartet, who is a Korean-American woman-led jazz quartet. And that concert is going to dedicate to the victim who unfortunately passed away during the Atlantic shooting in March. And so that concert is going to pay tribute and remembering the AAPI history. On another program, Crazy Talented Asians and Friends Animation Shorts, we're going to celebrate the storytelling with animation art form.
Now, once again, the time and date for the Crazy Talented Asians show is going to be what?
It's going to be May 29th, which is a Saturday at 6:00 Eastern Standard Time. Our program is going to be broadcast on YouTube, and the program is free. The only requirement is to go to our website to do RSVP.
And your website is flushingtownhall.org.
Exactly.
And if people want to know more about upcoming events and how to perhaps get involved or ask questions with Crazy Talented Asians, what's the best contact website info for you folks?
for now, Flushing Town Hall is the best place to find information about Crazy Talented Asians and Friends. And of course, we have our social media, and Crazy Talented Asians and Friends also have its social media handles. So feel free to follow us on social media.
Yeah, our Instagram handle is CTAF2021.
Hey, thank you so much, Mingyi, for coming with us. And Xuanqian, I appreciate having you with us. And Yayun, I'm sure we will talk again for more information, fleshingtownhall.org. And happy Asian Heritage Month. And we'll see you the next time we see you. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Listen again next Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern for another edition of Spectrum. To hear previously broadcast editions of Spectrum, visit the Spectrum tab on our website to listen or download your favorite past programs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Spectrum. Now, back to the music on China America Radio.